government, music, art, health, science, geology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour this evening, February the 24th, on the West Coast, or if you are in the Eastern or Central time zones, then you know it's February the 25th, the early morning hour. Well, so nice to have you with us this evening. We had quite a show last night, and in fact, as I mentioned on last night's show, I was guest hosting Rick Adams' Uncensored Radio Free America show, and I had my guests were David Hawkins and Field McConnell, two forensic economists that have been looking at all the plane crashes we've been having since 9/11/2001. And tracking the financing, and in light of that, there's been a lot of information that has come out and is in line with my research. I got an email from those gentlemen, and they said that we had quite a large listening audience, basically all over the world, and their web traffic jumped 5 times. So. We experience that with this show as well, and I attribute that that success to the quality of research that these two gentlemen are doing and the message that came out during that show. So, again, I'm thanking Rick Adams and Dr. K for allowing me to guest host that show, and which gave me the opportunity to invite those two gentlemen. We will be having them on Evident Footprints in March, early March. And also, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to what is an ever-increasingly large group of people, Karen, Bob, and Bill, David, Sheila, Zachariah, Crenshaw, Jill, and let's see, we have Sylvia, Kelta, Kevon, Susie, Saran, and Ketra. And, of course, the general also. I'd like to welcome all of you folks and many, many more that are their friends who we know are listening. And we've got people all over the place listening to this show, which is very exciting. One of the reasons why is because we talk about some of the nonsense that we see in the media and in government, not exclusively. We talk about other issues, but... I want to bring up the fact that I did not listen to this speech on the economy because it can only be spin. In fact, if you listen to any of the shows we did recently on Evident Footprints, you know that we've been revealing what's going on with the economy. So do you honestly expect a usurper president, an illegal alien, to come before the American people and tell the truth about what's going on? My goodness, he can't tell it about himself. How can he tell you the truth about the economy? So I didn't listen to the show, and a friend called me and sort of chided me because I didn't listen to this hour-long speech, which was not going to be about the real situation and about the corruption that's going on and about the schemes and the murder that's going on in the insurance scams. And we revealed that yesterday to some extent on the RBN broadcast, and we've been talking about it quite regularly on this show. So I said to him, what did I miss? And he said, well, he didn't really say anything. It was just a rah-rah speech, and he didn't say what's really going on. So I said, then I saved an hour. That was an hour well invested doing something else, actually preparing for tonight's show. So with that, I would like to bring on, for the second night in a row, this is a follow-up of last night's show. We're going to continue discussing some important issues with our guest. He has a website, which is called educate-yourself.org, or for the elite out there, educate-yourself.org. He is a metaphysical scientist, a journalist. He's a webmaster and an inventor of sorts, and he's also my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you very much, Don. It's a pleasure to be on again with you, and I look forward to another enjoyable chat.
Well, so do I, and I don't want to dwell on this financial thing too much tonight, unless it happens to come up in the context of something that we've said. I take it you didn't listen to the speech either.
No, I didn't.
Congratulations.
Here's the dilemma you have. There's a play going on, and we already read the script. It's as if we were, let's say, auditors of this theater group. And in order to judge the caliber of performance, let's say, the believability of the actors, et cetera, we've had to read the script ahead of time so we would know what they were going to say and what they were going to present and how they were going to present it and whether we would judge their believability factor, let's say, by the convincing aspects of their presentation. But it's as if people who are aware of the New World Order script, who are aware of the New World Order agenda, I should say, we already know the script. Now, of course, we're not among the script writers, you know, those think tank individuals who contribute to the propaganda line. It undoubtedly starts at Tavistock in the City of London, the overall thrust of it. But the decisions as made as to where to take the world and what to present to us foolish members of the general public, who are viewed as mere sheep in a herd to be led around by the nose, they decided the Bilderberg get-togethers and the G7, G8 get-togethers, and they have these strategies, or let's say the Illuminati game plan is laid out to the participants in greater detail, and then the writers at Tavistock or Stanford Research, et cetera, kind of disseminate the buzz that different news directors should take with their line, and who's ever doing political talk shows, well, the producers of those are briefed on how they're going to handle, you know, this interview with Kissinger, for instance. And so when we turn on the television or listen to the radio, we hear the end product of what all these creators of this play have decided upon. So, okay, if we want to find out what are the details of the latest act, the fine details, okay, we can listen to the speech and hear what it is they're presenting, and which we've all done on, you know, too many occasions, and we hear it, and we recognize that it's how are they going to play it? How are they going to deceive the people this time around? What are they going to throw up?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of spaghetti are they going to throw on the wall this time and see what sticks? So I too get fed up with it. I mean, it's hard to listen to these well-rehearsed liars, these well-trained liars. It was hard to listen to Bush give his speech. I mean, well, thank God it was Bush. I mean, the comic relief made it worth it. Suffering through it, you know, the guy would invariably trip over his tongue.
Yeah.
So that, of course, provided at least some relief, some comic relief. With this guy, he's such a well-programmed robot that, you know, it seems that he has a computer going from the teleprompter to his eyes to his brain, and he regurgitates it very well. So unfortunately, we don't get the kind of, you know, hilarious gaffes that we were getting from Bush. So there's not much humor here. So it's a pity that so many people think it's the real deal. They don't know they're looking at an actor. They don't know it's a play. They don't know that he's following a script that was laid out for him, you know, long before he got into office. They're following the Illuminati script to eliminate all sovereign governments and to bring us into a one-world fascist feudal tyranny. And so that's why, you know, you can't, you know, you don't have the patience to listen to it anyway. Either. I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, you mentioned a script, and you know, three movies come to mind. One of my favorite films. I do have a couple of favorite films, actually, although I don't go to the movies much. Is Ben-Hur. That was the one that featured Charlton Heston, and it had the chariot race, and basically you're seeing the Roman Empire in the Middle East during the times of Jesus.
Yep.
And so there's, you know, it's an example of what life is like on planet Earth and what it's been like since those days.
Yeah.
Then more recently, and this is probably what I felt my experiences led me to see through different colored glasses, that life on Earth is more like the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And if I were to use a benchmark for politics, it would have to be Dumb and Dumber. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen any of those movies, I recommend at least Dumb and Dumber, because it definitely describes what's going on in the world with the finances and the corruption. Although these are just two people that in that movie that just by accident find that they're holding a lot of money, and they just start spending it like crazy. Mm-hmm. with actually organized crime figures chasing them down. So it's really a reflection on what's going on today. Mm-hmm. It's been trivialized into this little episode of two people. But I really can't be serious about what I see going on, because this is so insane and it's so corrupt. And we've talked about that. I mean, people are losing their lives over this corruption just so these guys can save their own skins.
Yes. Yes. And what also, you know, greatly irritates me is when I'm watching TV, I'm flipping through channels to try to find something that can hold my interest, and I'll pass the public television stations that have the political talk shows, the Jim Lehrer Report, Washington Week in Review, or if you have the patience to listen to, you know, Meet the Press on Sunday. I mean, there was a time, I remember very well, at least in the 50s and 60s, the level of exchange, you know, during that period, they had a panel of reporters addressing various politicians. It wasn't just one host like Tim Russert or the man who's replaced him talking to one politician. You typically had a minimum of four reporters from major newspapers, New York Times, Chicago Sun, you know, whatever, LA Times, major newspapers, and those guys changed. You had a host, but then you had the politician who was being grilled by these reporters, and the caliber of the questions, it's night and day to the absolute garbage fluff that's being thrown up in people's face today on Meet the Press. I mean, listening to Charlie Rose is another example of a guy who just infuriates me. He's simply there to accommodate whatever propaganda the guests, at least on those political shows that he does, whatever propaganda that the guest is there to relay to the audience, Charlie Rose's job is merely to act as an accommodator, to help him draw out the propaganda in the way and in the tempo that the guest prefers. I mean, this interview that Kissinger did with Charlie Rose a month or two ago, I forget exactly, essentially he announced the New World Order as being a far better choice than this chaos, you know, we're this deepening chaos that we're entering now.
And Charlie Rose gave him the McCabe nod, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, I forced myself to watch the segment on YouTube just to hear what Kissinger had to say, but it's so typical of Charlie Rose. The man is not a reporter. He's certainly not a journalist. He's none of those things. He's merely a very nice, pleasant host who accommodates whatever material that party, who they have on to get across the propaganda line. And the political talk shows in which you get people who are supposed to be pundits from the Washington Post and so forth, and all they're doing is accommodating the Illuminati party line so that they actually talk about the various ins and outs factors and ups and downs of Obama's latest plan, and it's ridiculous. It's just, I want to listen to it because I want to hear what they have to say in terms of what's the spin. But it aggravates me so much that they treat it as if it's all on the level, as if, you know, there isn't this incredible amount of criminality that's actually taking place in the background, and they're putting this mask, this subterfuge, that it's because these banks were too loose on credit reviews, and they loaned money for home mortgages to people who exaggerated their income or didn't, you know, that's where they're keeping the whole conversation. It's mainly because of these people, and then now their NPR a day or two ago was talking about the stress test that the Obama team is going to put the banks through to show whether they can weather further deepening loss of the economy, et cetera. And they're talking about they're going to help those people who, you know, didn't necessarily default. And the big controversy is the people who did get mortgages within their means, who continue to pay their mortgages. The media is telling us, all these spin people, is that they're upset. Why should we bail out the people? Who didn't meet the requirements, who exaggerated their income, blah, blah, blah. That's where they want to keep the debate, down there. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that it's this huge criminal, a conspiracy has resulted in this. This economic crisis was created intentionally. And mind you, in the banks and Wall Street are all controlled by the Illuminati, and they're all playing their parts. And as I mentioned yesterday, they continue to use that the incompetence card. You know, they keep on spinning that out. Falling asleep at the switch is a term that Obama has used a lot, as if people. Oh, it's just, we didn't catch that one. The intelligence people just didn't quite catch those terrorists. They got under the wire and they got in the net, and on the day of 9/11, the radar people didn't quite get it. It's so obscene talking to us as if we're 9-year-old children. We're going to buy that load of crap.
Yes. Now, in light of what you're talking about, and in light of this speech that was given this evening, which I didn't hear and you didn't hear, but I got a report on, which I alluded to, Dr. Orly Tates, who is originally from the Soviet Union, and has filed a suit that Obama produced documentation that he is an American citizen, which he cannot do, which is why he hasn't done it. That's the only reason why it's not being done.
The only reason.
She sent a letter to Senator John Thune, the Senate Armed Services Committee, Senator Chuck Grassley, the Senate Finance Committee, Senator Dianne Feinstein, the Committee on Intelligence, Committee on the Judiciary, Defense Subcommittee, the Senate, and the Congress. And she wrote a letter about this whole issue of him not providing this evidence. And yet these bozos go along with it like it's, you know, no big deal.
Yes.
She raises the issue right at the outset about the oath of office and all of the agencies that should be investigating. Now, you know, I did quite a large piece and months and months of research on his background, on his genealogy, and on his proclamations in his biography or autobiography, which has been deemed to have been written by William Ayers of the Weatherman Underground Terrorist Group. Mm-hmm. And we expose the fact that Siddeley Austin, the law firm that Michelle Robinson worked for or works for, one would have to assume she still works for them, and Obama, with her as his handler, basically, we brought out the points in relation to Siddeley Austin's international scams, financial scams, that really are called Tontine scams that go back to the 1600s. Mm-hmm. Where they pool the money of a group of people, let's say as in an insurance policy, and as each person dies, the beneficiary's financial interest gets put back into the pool until there's one person standing. So basically, they're just getting rid of all the people in these pools,
yes.
Which is why you're having plane crashes. And the so-called suicides, and of course, people are being murdered and being framed for murders that they didn't commit. And anybody who knows anything about this stuff is being targeted. Now, keep in mind that I exposed just a handful of the aliases that I found for Barack Obama, and there are names and addresses for individuals going by the name of Barakat Osama. We've actually joked. I mean, sometimes your tongue slips and you say Osama bin Laden for this guy. Okay, yeah. We're finding social security numbers that are bogus. Obviously, Dr. Tates is alleging that some of them have been taken from dead people, which is quite possible. I haven't done the research on that, but from what I've seen, the so-called story about them being from Kansas is debunked by the fact that Stanley Armour Dunham, the so-called grandfather of Barack Obama, was in Oklahoma working for the CIA and working for German intelligence.
Yes.
In the 1940s. And we know that Stanley Ann Dunham didn't have a baby, and we know that she's not the mother. And so this ruse is nothing but a ruse from one end to the other. Falsified, forged documents, forged pictures, and the photographs are definitely forged. Definitely. You've seen them. They've been photoshopped to death. I don't think they could have added another person into these photographs using Photoshop. You can't layer the photos that many times.
Yes.
And this person is telling us what's going to happen to this country. This is such a fraud that's been perpetrated by organized crime on this country.
Right.
And the media is as fraudulent. The military is as fraudulent. The Congress and the Senate and the Department of Justice is as fraudulent.
Yep.
It's nothing but organized crime. From top to bottom, that's all it is. Yeah. Masquerading as political leaders. Well, I use the benchmark as the movie Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
And we can move on to something else if you want. I just had to get that out because
I want to ventilate these ideas as well, only because it's difficult for people who just begin to become aware of the New World Order agenda. They are at page one of a very long Dickens novel that maybe might run to three or four volumes, and we're at the end of volume four. And the problem is that when you're just beginning the first pages of volume one of a very complicated and dense conspiracy, you find it nearly impossible to believe the conclusions that the people who now are on volume four near the end of the book tell you what the story is all about. You just can't believe it because there's too much of a gap between your accustomed view of reality. Where do you get your view of reality? You get it from your parents, your home life, your neighborhood life with the people you grow up with, your friends, from television, from movies, from radio, from books, educational books, fiction books, comic books, novels, or whatever. The information that comes into our eyes, into our ears, and into our mind, we kind of sift through it, and we sort of decide on a consensus reality based on that input. Now, you're particularly attuned with the view of reality that your immediate peers and colleagues and, you know, closest associates, friends and families hold. That's you're going to be pretty much in that same mindset as those people. Sure, there's always variations within the group, but my parents, lower class, blue collar working background, who went through the Depression, for instance, saw the high times of the 20s and then also went through the Depression. People who went through the Depression, have a very, particularly if you're part of the lower working class in America, had a very dim view of Republicans. And most people of my parents' generation viewed Franklin Delano Roosevelt as just about a god. He was admired just immensely because of the way the picture was presented to us in the movies, and of course television didn't start showing up into the 50s or so, but radio and the movies were the big common media that most people got information about Depression, about World War II, et cetera. So the content there, what we're being presented in the newspapers at that time, is what forms opinions in people like my parents. And the story that was presented in that is that these greedy, rich, wealthy men, due to unbridled lust for greed, caused the stock market to speculate wildly, and they sucked in a lot of people in the 20s who really didn't have the knowledge of how to intelligently invest in the stock market to buy wildly on incredible margins, so that they weren't actually putting up any money. Credit was being extended all over the place. Long story short, because of excessive lust for greed, mostly stimulated by the wealthy elites of America, that led to the Depression. And once we're in the Depression, instead of these people who had greater financial capacity, instead of helping the little guy, they're just comfortable in their own little mansion's world, and all the people were unemployed, in soup lines and selling apples on Fifth Avenue and so forth. You know, it seemed that the government or, you know, the wealthier people of American society couldn't care less about. So when FDR had the reforms that took place in, you know, 1932, 33, 34, the NRA and the, you know, the work relief program and the bank holiday and all that, I mean, this sounded like, you know, all steps that was taken on behalf of the little guy in America to get us out of this quandary of you know, of the doldrums of the depression. And then, well, we didn't want to go to war, but since there was war, it sure put us back to work. And now not only men got work, but now women had to go into factories because the men were being shipped off. But, well, we stopped, you know, fascism, we stopped Hitler and Mussolini and stopped the Tojo, etc., and we won the war, and it was wonderful, and then we had this big economic boom and growth and so forth and so on. This is, you know, this is the a view which my parents had. So I naturally, I'm growing up in my own family, that's the influence that I had. I never imagined I would be anything but a Democrat, because the Democrats were for the little guy and the Republicans are for the rich people. That's the simplistic way blue-collar people think, and I'm sure it's that way today. But, of course, FDR did much to damage this country in terms of he set in motion, because he was an agent for these illuminated forces. Just as, you know, Teddy Roosevelt was. And it seems that most of the presidents we had in the 20th century pretty much cooperated with the Illuminati agenda. And those who didn't cooperate, Garfield, for instance, got themselves assassinated. Or Kennedy, for that matter. So I understand how it's difficult for people who hear us talk about these things, and we talk about this huge criminality that's being hidden from view, how Obama is, you spend a lot of time researching into the story that he put up. This was his books, or what he has his name on it. He clearly didn't write them, but the story his camp was putting forward, you started to investigate the facts about that. You started to carefully look at the genealogy of what we are told was his mother, was his father, was his grandparents. And as you started to dig, it didn't take you long to find that there's so many holes in the story, it was unbelievable. And then when you dug a little deeper, you come to find out that, in fact, these people are agents for the CIA.
Yeah, well, you know, this may sound rather strange, but I'm beginning to feel like I look more like his father than he does. You know, the one he's purported to be the son of.
Yeah.
And I say that because we have obfuscation and lies and forgery, falsified documents everywhere. Multiple felonies are being committed.
Yes.
Here. And now this guy is the president. Yes. You know, I can't accept that. I can't accept that, and I know there are a lot of other people that don't accept it. And it's starting to come out that there are people around the country joining this lawsuit. There are people in the military joining this lawsuit who refuse to see such a person and this conspiracy, this cabal of international thugs and crooks running around Washington, ordering people about and ruining people's lives at the same time, stealing the whole country blind, literally stealing the country blind, with the intention, as you mentioned, of establishing this new world order, bringing everyone to their knees.
Yes, and of course we always have to remind people or tell people who are just becoming exposed to the information, don't know the agenda, that they have operations in the works, that had been in the works for a number of years now, to ultimately result in the demise of the vast bulk of people living today. It's a genocide operation on a scale that has never been attempted in the entire history of humanity on this planet. They've made plans long ago, many decades ago, to settle on a maximum population of planet Earth of about 500 million people. And there's currently about approximately 6.7 billion today. That means 85% of the world, 90% of the world, are slated to be eliminated. And there's a number of ways they're doing that, chemtrails being one, but the planned to try to vaccinate as many people as possible are part of their genocide agenda. They have plans to use electronic means to induce disease and debilitate people to the point that they succumb to it, you know, in a relatively short period of time. They don't live out a normal lifespan. So everything that they're throwing at the general population for purpose of genocide, they have countermeasures for and antidotes to. It's common for a new person, I should say a naive new person, to say, well, if that's true, then they're breathing the same air I'm breathing, and they're going to poison their own kids with chemtrails. It doesn't matter. They already have the antidotes and the technology in place to cure any disease. And they can selectively induce disease, and if they wish, they can cure an individual of any disease. You could bet that there is nothing that they're subjecting the general population to that they don't have the antidote for. So the elitists themselves, sure, they're walking around, they're breathing chemtrail late in air too, but when it comes time for, let's say, Plan B, the virulent stage of some bioengineered bug to be released or to be induced electronically, which is a definite possibility, the elites will not be subject to that infection. They will be either in a location that will preempt them being subjected to that, and or they'll have equipment with them or on them or have available to them equipment that will neutralize whatever it is that is intended, let's say, to kill an ordinary person or to cause their demise in some way. So that has to be borne in mind too. Now, I keep on repeating this theme, but it's necessary. What they plan and what actually transpires in the next decade or two aren't necessarily the same thing.
That's right.
And we have to remember that there is an unseen vanguard of helpers behind the scene who assist people, ordinary people, who want to prevent these terribly destructive scenarios from unfolding. You're getting assistance. And if enough people participate in trying to do something that's intelligent and practical, and rather than suicidal, for instance, we have a chance to greatly diminish the level of intended destruction, takeover, etc. And it's even possible to thwart it. It's possible. Now, as long as, however, people continue to seriously listen to these propaganda mouthpieces that we hear on mainstream television, radio, Washington Week in Review, and Meet the Press, and listen to Obama's latest, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, good evening, my fellow Americans, blah, blah, blah. As long as people pay attention to that as long as they actually think it's on the level, and then they're never going to extricate themselves. They're never going to do what has to be done to abort this process. They are just being corralled towards the slaughterhouse, and they're being very, let's say, pleasantly corralled and led, and come this way, sheeple, this, oh yes, oh please, oh yes, of course we'll help you. Yeah. Everything's done so gently and politely that people are being mesmerized right into the grave, ultimately. And we need more people to wake up and not take 10 or 20 years to do it. I still get emails from people who just come to make a connection between the pictures that are on my website and thousands of other website pictures of chemtrails and what they're seeing over their head. And it's always the same meal. It's, oh my God, I can't believe it. I saw those same lines on the photos on your website and they're right over my house. And, you know, they started this 12 years ago. And there's been thousands and thousands of websites that put up articles about chemtrails. There's such a thing as just being too late to wake up. And I remember listening to Phil Schneider's videos that he made in the summer of 95. And he was saying, it's getting chancy now. It's getting dicey. If we don't wake up now and take serious collective positive action to abort this, the only thing that's left, his very words, was just a lot of, screaming and crying. And he was right. And he said that in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
This is 14 years later.
Well, I was just going to interject something here. In just following up on this, and now you mentioned, you know, some of my research and what I've been reporting. And for a lot of people, this was hard to swallow because so many people were brainwashed into accepting someone new who's making all these promises, someone who they didn't care to know with any certainty, and of course the media bears a huge amount of the responsibility just because of the way the system is set up. People depend on hearing the official word from the media. So the official word is whatever they want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's on the menu for the day, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
The plat du jour. Obama, according to Dr. Tate, I want to go back to this for a moment, because I've mentioned the aliases, I've mentioned the multiplicity of addresses, and I by no means spent all my time digging on that. I came up with 100 or so, and I figured that's enough, and we published a handful of them, and some very strange circumstances that go with them. But he's got social security numbers beginning with the number 156. Usually the first three numbers denote the tax region or the state.
Yes, okay? Correct.
156. 537 is another one. He's got properties listed with no social security numbers. 456. I could give out more numbers. I've got like the first five digits. 011. That's an interesting one there. That's an Illuminati one. 282. That's assigned to his Washington address. He's got properties in Florida, Colorado, Denver. Shows addresses, you know, having been there. 762, that's in Melbourne, Florida. Alpharetta, Georgia, 579. Columbus, Georgia, 420. So now this is out of the norm for even most people's numbers. Where are these numbers coming from? 423 in Columbus, Georgia. So he's got a 420 and a 423 social security number. They give the first five and they leave the last four blank. There's a two, here's a full one. Oh no, that's a phone number. 364. Okay, here's another 364, a 217. Now, all these are in Chicago. So you have a 364, 364, a, here's a, no, that was a phone prefix. Sorry about that. 364. Then you have another 364 in Chicago. Then you have one, property in Chicago, no social security number. You have a 042 in Chicago. Tell me there's no obfuscation here. 042, 042. Some of these right. are like the prefixes to properties.
Yes.
You know, these are like parcel prefixes.
Right.
I can name counties that have those prefixes.
Right.
And you have all kinds of bogus information here. All kinds. Now, this came from a private investigator. I am not a private investigator, and he states that either he paid a fee or got it for free, what's available to the public.
Yes.
Addresses in Eugene, Oregon, Philadelphia, Charleston, South Carolina, which, by the way, I have found as well. Okay, I've got pictures of some of the houses, and when you look up the property records, there's no owner to the house.
Right.
There's not even an owner. Okay,
right.
Not even a bank. 427-675. Is the message coming across here? Does anyone, do you, Ken? We don't have anybody calling in. Here's a 901. This is not an area code. This is a so-called social security number in Provo, Utah, Centerville, Utah, Washington, Utah, 799. You know, this, and I have to say, Dr. Tates didn't make this up, and the private investigator didn't
right.
make it up. Now we have a 042 here in Chicago on LaSalle. That sounds like it's close to the courthouse. Another 042. These are these pure trusts. These are these real estate scams that the Justice Department is running. He's part of the pool. He's part of the game. The same way. This is nothing but organized crime.
Okay, then allow me to, for the probably the majority of listeners who don't understand the significance of all the numbers you were
those are social security
off.
Numbers.
I know that. Yeah, okay. I understand. You've repeated that often, but I just want to amplify the thought a bit. So you and I are talking about events that are taking place at the end of the fourth volume of the script we already read, and a large proportion of people are just on the opening pages of Volume 1 to this long Dickens novel. And what you're talking about is an advanced part of the story in which not only are people like Obama and most of his cabinet and et cetera, most of the players are not only frauds, they are not who they, particularly in Obama's case, he was not born in America. He certainly wasn't born in Hawaii. Therefore, he's not an American citizen. Therefore, he has no authority or eligibility to be the president of the United States. Now, if he was born in Hawaii, the first peep that arose, I guess it happened about a year before he got the nomination, approximately about the time that he entered the primary, was when the articles started to surface about Obama not having proof of his birth record, and then his website people, whoever are managing that, in an attempt to quell those critics who were pointing this out, put up on Obama's official website a phony certificate, in which was very thoroughly debunked as being a photoshopped instrument. It was okay. Now, if the man actually was born in Hawaii, he would have the same sort of birth certificate that you or I have, since we were born in this country and have had to produce on dozens of occasions. You know, when I was a young lad and went for a driver's license at 16. I had to take a copy of my birth certificate to motor vehicles. When I went into the military and I signed up, I had to bring a copy of my birth certificate. There is numerous times. Probably when you sign up for a marriage license, I suppose, you might have to bring a copy of birth certificate. But there's, when you get a passport, I had to bring a copy of my birth certificate. So there are numerous times in which you have to bring either the original birth certificate that was given to you at the hospital, that's the one that I possess, or you had to have a certified copy of a birth certificate signed by, you know, a government official or a hospital official certifying that this is a legal document certified to be a true and honest recognition of your birth at so-and-so hospital. If Obama was born in Hawaii, he would have put that up immediately, and this whole controversy never would have arisen. And as you said 45 minutes ago, the reason the controversy is there, he can't produce a document. Why not? Because he wasn't born here. I mean, this is so insanely stupid to even be arguing about this. Yet you have these legions of particularly leftist lunatics who will dismiss the argument about the birth certificate as being just so much nonsense, not even worthy of a serious discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, if you were to confront them with what I just said, what could they say in rebuttal? They can't say anything.
Here's
there is nothing.
Here's an address. 1234 Main, Attica, New York. Here's another address. 123 Main Street, Columbus, Ohio. 2323 Aristotle Court, Fairfax, Virginia. And here's another one. 123 Village Drive, Shelton, Connecticut. 535 Wisconsin, Chevy Chase, Maryland. That shows up a couple of times. Now, some of them look real, but you've got this 1313 address, Lane, Boca Raton, Florida. And the Social Security number is 123-45, and it's probably 6789. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is total corruption. This is corrupt. Now he can say, well, I didn't put that information in the database. He's got Barack Quincy Obama. Barack H. Barack, spelled with a Q, by the way.
Okay.
Not a CK or a K or anything like that. He's got himself listed as Barbara Obama.
Mm.
Okay? Which is a common Mossad tactic.
Okay.
In fact, the Mossad, and we're speaking about the Israeli intelligence agents, okay? For those out there that don't know what Mossad is.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelled Mossad. Mm-hmm. They like to use, because They're affiliated with Israel, okay? They're working on the behalf of the Israelis. So they like to use Italian names, and they like to use Irish names, and even Indian names, okay? Anything that begins with an I suits them fine.
Oh, okay, I see.
Okay, and many of the banking scandals that are going on internationally are taking place in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And in Italy,
nothing
against Italian people.
Yes, of course.
These agents are using these names. This is what's turning up in these databases. The same kind of obfuscation that's here. Now, this is quite a bit deeper than I've gone, because I'm not going to pay $40 a pop to look at a corrupt record. Okay?
Right.
But Dr. Tate's paid to have this information.
Yes.
This is what, here's 123 East Lane, Lake Barrington, Illinois. I mean, is that even a real address?
Mm.
You know? The obfuscation here, the lies, the corruption.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
123 Main Street, North Chicago. How many times have you heard me say 123?
Oh, yeah, many times, of course. Yes,
okay.
Right.
I mean, we had 1234, and we had a social security number. This is for those that are having trouble following this.
Yes.
Starting with 123-45, and then they're not showing the last four digits, but anybody with half a brain could guess that
know.
It says 6789.
Yes, exactly.
Then we have Bertrand O. Obama, okay? Betty Obama. He's actually calling himself Betty. Now, I'm wondering, Okay, this is at 123 Mohegan Drive, North Branford, Connecticut. Was that when he was in drag? Because we've seen the pictures. Oh, Bob Obama.
Oh, okay.
Everybody who's a politician's name is Bob. We have Bob A. Obama, Spokane, Washington. Borack, this is B-O-R-A-C-K, Obama, 222 20th Street, San Diego. I'm sure that's a real address also.
Yes, of course.
This is insanity. Mm-hmm. This is absolute corruption. And we have Brianna. That has to be the white wedding dress picture that we've seen.
Yes.
Nashville, Tennessee. Have you heard any of these addresses? Are these accounted for, any of these places? Or Fort Wayne, Indiana, at all? Is this nothing but real estate scams or these places he's lived?
Right.
According to what I've found, likely he's been living in all these places and was not at Occidental College, was not at Columbia, and was not at Harvard.
Hmm.
Okay? And it shows the connections. There's stuff here on Stanley Ann, too, that will blow your mind, but it's right up the alley of the research that I did.
Yes. Yep. You're right.
Same research. Same absolute research. And these documents lie about the fact that these people died when they claimed they did. They're showing that the grandfather died at age 73. But they're telling us, they want us to believe that he lived up until 1992. And we've got a picture of Barack Obama where they're visiting him at Columbia University. His grandparents are visiting him. And he's wearing a wedding ring.
Yes.
9 or 10 years before he got married.
Before he got married, right. That was very very sharp of you.
Yeah, but see, the grandparents are photoshopped into the picture.
Yes, exactly, right.
You see? Right. They're photoshopped into the picture, as he is at the Punahou School. Okay.
Right.
You've seen those pictures. You've seen what I described to you.
Yeah.
Am I exaggerating?
No. It is, even to the untrained eye, there's sufficient difference in, let's say, the texture, the density, the contrast of the Obama image versus the other basketball players around them, that even an untrained but a sensitive eye can notice. The density of his image is sufficiently different from the surrounding basketball players, and I'm not talking about the color of his skin. That makes you think, my God, this image was placed in there. And the fact that, one of his arms are behind one of the players and his other arm is in front of another player, that's not a big deal to do with professionals who can, use Photoshop, the Pentagon edition,
It's not World Trade Center. Or Shanksville, maybe.
Right. And you had, we talked about a photo that was put on the internet early in the process when he was still in the primaries, in which he was seen as a 10-year-old boy sitting on a bench with his mother, his claimed mother, with the baby Maya on her knee, and Lolo Sotoro sitting next to them. And by re-adding color to that picture, originally it was a color picture, it was desaturated down to black and white photo to be published on the net, but you were able to reinsert the color into the photo. And when we did, we saw a lot of etheric images that were seen on the wall behind them and on their bodies. And recently I noticed that when they republished that photo, that very same photo with the 10-year-old Barack, I noticed that the people who put it up on the internet now, and I saw, this is just going back a few weeks ago, some mainstream news outlet put it up there. I noticed that they cropped the photo, so one of these etheric images, which was very easy to see on the wall behind Barak and to his left side.
Yeah, that actually looks like it's next to him. But yeah, I understand what you mean.
No, he has this what looks like an Aztec Indian with sort of like a headband, but this etheric image is bleeding through so densely against the wall that it's pretty easy to spot. So I noticed that they simply cropped it out of the shot. They just cropped it closer to his arm so they would eliminate that face entirely.
But
so
careful examination of the photo, you can see that they actually inserted Lolo Satoru, they're calling him, into the photo, and they inserted Barack Obama into the photo.
Right.
Neither one is actually there in that place. Right. They just have them sitting down in the image next to her. So they've been edited into the photo, and you can see the line around the top of his hair. Both of them, actually. Oh. You can.
Yeah. Very good. You've got a very sharp eye for spotting detail like that.
Well, when you enlarge a picture, the picture should get bigger. It shouldn't start showing things that you can't see because the size is compressed.
Right.
When you decompress the photo, everything should get larger at the same time.
Yes.
But what happens is the line around the edge, it's as though someone drew a picture, or let's say you took a picture with a camera, and then you took a razor blade and cut the person out of the picture.
Yes.
And pasted them into another picture.
Yes, right.
That's how sloppy a job they did.
Yeah.
Okay? And these people aren't casting shadows in a picture where light is shining in their face. There's no shadow behind them. There's no shadow underneath them or next to them anywhere. Impossible.
I see.
You know, and this is consistent with the school photos. It's ridiculous what they did there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure someone who's in the photographic business, particularly, someone who specializes in doctoring photos is part of their work, setting up montage photos, et cetera, to look as if it's an original scene, could see those photos and spot the very same things that you're talking about very easily. It'd be nice if some of those people would, pipe up once in a while and send in an email and say, I'm in the business and you're absolutely right. That is a Photoshop put-up job. I can see it quite clearly.
Well, those people are probably busy watching American Idol.
Yes, I suppose. I suppose so. Well, I guess I wanted to just review a bit or emphasize the fact that, more Americans simply need to wake up. We can't have this 9, 10, 12-year lag in awareness because the situation is becoming too dangerous. You know, when you're thrown into a battle situation, even if you didn't have enough, training, which happens sometime in the military, certainly happened in World War II. Sometimes men were trained as little as 6 weeks and then taken right to the front. You lose a lot of people that way because of inadequate, preparation to learn the ropes of combat and to remain alive. You lose a lot of people, and vets know it. Anyone who's been in the military in that type of outfit knows very well that the amount of training makes a tremendous difference as to how many guys are going to survive in the unit. So the guys who've had, the extra time to physically, psychologically, to prepare, they have a much better chance of surviving. Well, when you're thrown into a wartime battle situation, you don't have the luxury of slowly coming up to speed. You just got to take advantage of the human ability to accelerate learning. We don't have to move in a linear fashion. We can do it in a logarithmic way if we have to. We have the capacity to do that. But because everyday life seems so normal, we're we're living the same sort of, let's say, comfortable life that we were living perhaps 30 years ago when things were much safer for our nation than it is now. And so we're living in this false sense of security, a false sense of, you know, relative peace. At least here, you know, we aren't going through the, you know, the tremendous difficulty that the people in Iraq or Afghanistan have been going through for, you know, the last so many years. So we are just sheep ready for the slaughter. And Americans have to wake up, particularly young couples who have young children. I would love to see all these young kids that I see playing around in, you know, the neighborhood where I live and having fun and running around and giggling and laughing. I'd love to see them grow up, be able to grow up, have their own families and become grandfathers and grandmothers themselves and live out a normal life in peace, you know, the life that I, you know, I was able to enjoy in a free America. I would very much like to see that, and I certainly don't want the people in the Middle East or Europe or Asia to have to endure war or strife or famine or disease of outbreaks, etc. either. I really would like the world to exist in a peaceful, cooperative manner, and we could, of course. Who's preventing that is this illuminated cult. The Satanists, like Michelle Obama, who just, someone sent me, she just was on the cover of Vogue magazine. And someone was kind enough to send me that photo. And while most of the comments were typical toady-type sycophants saying, oh, she just looks so lovely and elegant there, and, oh, this is going, this is truly one of the greatest hours of for America.
More idol, you know, worship.
Yeah, idol worship, right. Thank God at least one woman, her name was Susan, I haven't put on my website yet, but I put the page together this morning. Thank God one woman said, hey, wake up. This woman is a Satanist. She's given the satanic hand sign, which she is, in the photo. That's what Satanists do, particularly when, you know, like Bush. Remember in Bush's inauguration, him, the wife, the kids, they're all flashing the satanic hand sign like there's no tomorrow. Of course, it's Texas Longhorns, don't you know? Yeah, the same Texas Longhorns that Cheney and Rumsfeld and Gore and, you know, all the illuminated traitors are flashing. Sure, they all love the Texas Longhorns. No problem. We can buy that in a second. So, yeah, thank God at least one woman in that, you know, in a mainstream website, let's say, you know, conventional sheeple website was astute enough to see that and remark about it. But we just can't have one out of 10 who are aware of the phenomena. We're not going to stop the process. We need, you know, something closer to at least 50% of this country to be aware of the New World Order and to see what's taking place. And particularly people who are, have family who are in the military or in law enforcement. If we didn't have American citizens who wear military uniforms or are in National Guard units or in the regular army or in our, in any of the, well, I don't even, you know, I have no hope whatsoever for intelligence agencies. I'm not depending on that. Although I know there are good guys even within those ranks because, you know, James Caswell particularly often cites, quote, friends among the very ranks of this, these groups who are usually installing the, you know, installing the New World Order agenda on behalf of the Illuminati. So I suppose there exist here and there people who have something left of a human consciousness and realize that what they're, the group they're participating with is part of the New World Order minion workforce that's bringing this stuff on. But if we had, let's say, the lower ranks who are not part of the conspiracy, of course, they're just, quote, following orders. Relatives, wives, husbands, mothers, etc., who are awake enough to understand what, you know, we're talking about in this program today, they have to have a hard talk with anyone who's in law enforcement, particularly, that the day's going to come, and it's not going to be five decades from now, or even one decade from now. It's going to be in the next few years, in which they're going to be faced with the prospect of rounding up American citizens, of busting into home American citizens, taking their guns, their gold, you know, their food, whatever. And anyone who is doing that in the interest of keeping their job and keeping a check going, or believing promises that they're going to be taken care of, you know, when times get really grim and they'll give them a place in one of these underground cities, etc. Those people are as much traitors as the people who are, you know, running the show with their hands on the wheel of power. And the only way, when we're in a life and death struggle to try to preserve this republic, is, I'm sorry, you just can't allow traitors to operate freely. They must be stopped. They must be stopped in any way possible. Otherwise, your family, your kids are going to be on the chopping block. And I hope enough people recognize that. And when it comes to issues like a gun control, of course, this Israeli agent, who's now the chief of staff there, this Rahm Emanuel, he's going to push for gun control like you can't believe. They want to push for registration of ammunition. Well,
they've already stopped ammunition from being imported into the country.
Right. There you go.
2 days, 3 days ago.
Okay. And I just heard on one Patriot Radio a commercial by some outfit that is selling information on how to manufacture your own gun at home and so forth. And we need to think about this, is that despite all their plans to use electronics and microwaves and silent sound technology, et cetera, to bring people to their knees when they come for guns and so forth, all these plans might not work out exactly the way they planned them to work out. So, but if when they come for you, if you only got your finger to point at them, well, that's not going to work. We have to start thinking about being prepared, and above all, to try to agitate for statements of state sovereignty, as we were talking about yesterday, as the first step in demanding that your police, your sheriff, your municipal and your state police and your National Guard, you know, put these people on the carpet, put the head honchos of these people on the carpet in front of committees and saying, listen, when they go martial law, you aren't following whatever, you know, the federal government says. You're going to do what the governor says. You're going to do, and if the governor's part of the federal treason, then you're going to do what the mayor says or the city council says or these committee members, etc. We have to make it clear to the traitors that a large percentage of the people are simply not going to accept the martial law roundup and the guillotines and the FEMA concentration death camps, etc. We're just not going there. We're going to fight it out. And I'm hoping if enough people woke up that politically we could take the wind out of their sails. And we wouldn't have to face a bloody internal struggle just to remain free and alive. But at least people should be thinking that if it's got to go toe-to-toe, then be prepared to go toe-to-toe. The last thing you want to do is acquiesce to their plans. They're going to do something, probably many things, that are going to, you know, really upset a lot of people. That might include, as we said, false flag operations, nuclear bombs perhaps, or something maybe less dramatic, but big scale explosions, let's say, on, you know, which will kill probably many hundreds of thousands of people this time around instead of three or four or five. And we might have a biological release of some sort that's going to affect a lot of people. We might have an assassination, for instance, of Obama as a prelude. We might have the aliens, you know, landing, the Project Blue Beam. Whatever they are going to do, it's going to be very dramatic, and they're going to use it as a pretext to say to the people, well, instead of all this suffering, we need to, you know, realize that we could provide the protection for you if you just knuckle under to our one world order tyranny. That's ultimately, that's what the decision will be. That's the decision that's going to be presented to people. And the dumbed down are going to accept the Illuminati offer, because anything that the devil offers is done with, you know, sugar and honey. You can bet it's going to sound appealing to the average dumbed down person who, let's say, voted for Obama. They're going to think it to be the lesser of two evils. But in fact, it will be the worst of two evils. It's better to organize and fight rather than to simply submit. The people who submit in the concentration, who wound up in concentration camps in Poland and Germany, etc., wound up, you know, being slaughtered. And
look at what has transpired in slightly over 1 month.
Yes,
in this country.
Look
at what has transpired, and they're reporting. Well, we need, you know, $480 billion now, or we needed $700 billion, but it was up to $850 billion. And they're not telling us it's way up in the trillions, okay? More likely, $8.5 trillion. $14 trillion last week was stolen from Citibank and shipped to Dubai.
Yep.
Okay. This Prince Alawid that forked out a good portion of the money, along with the Queen of England, and that coupled with money from China, was sitting in Citibank, and they got it over to Dubai, and it was reported by Christopher Story a couple of days ago that Alan Greenspan again was arrested.
Wow.
Over this. Now, have you heard about that in the media? The
of
mainstream?
Course not.
No, not at all. And he's not making it up. Now, he's had it verified and from numerous sources. So this is going on. Of course, for them to tell us that, then we know, everyone knows that what we're talking about is true on a mass scale, because they'd have to come out with this in the media, you see. Mm-hmm. But the same people who were doing this, committing these crimes, are controlling the media.
Yes.
Why is it so difficult for people to understand that?
Right.
I mean, it's not rocket science. It's actually easier to understand than how Mr. Rogers tied his tennis shoes when he walked into the studio.
Right.
Singing "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood."
Yes.
That took a little bit more discernment.
Yes. Right. Yes. Okay. So once you can see that there is this script that's going forward, it's being played out, and the stimulus package is just the latest installment, you know, and it's yet another act in this play. And when the curtain comes down, the United States will no longer be a free and sovereign nation. That's when the curtain comes down. We'll be probably amalgamated into one North American Union, with Mexico and Canada and around the world. I guess they have 10 regions planned out, and there's 10 regions within the North American Union, etc. And the way to stop this is that first you have to be aware of it, and you have to convince others around you that it's taking place, and to not dally about it, because we don't have the luxury of time. The other thing is that so many people are panicky because they have they've done a few things foolishly. First, to live on credit or to use a credit card as a way to obtain stuff, pay bills, pay your mortgage, pay rent, etc., is foolishness itself. I, like most people, I suppose, when I was younger and I was in those middle years, let's say, in which my, you know, financial strength is growing, my assets were growing, it was easy. They made it easy to get credit. So if you wanted to, let's just say, buy a few more houses, because for a while I was playing Monopoly with the real estate game, it's easy to get, you know, get the money from a bank. If you have a good credit rating, it's easy. And then, therefore, you buy stuff on credit, and it's, everything's easy. Money, when times are good, money's rolling in. You can pay the bills, no problem, and you sort of get used to all that. But it happens with a lot of people that it doesn't continue to work out that way. Eventually, credit comes around to bite you. And the people who, let's say, the many tens of thousands of independent farmers who allowed bankers to talk them into loans, I'm talking about the 70s and 80s, for instance, talk them into loans in order to buy new farm tractors, you know, big combine. Oh, you're going to produce, you know, you make a lot more money because you're going to up your production rate. And, oh, yeah, let me get that. So they went into debt to get all these things. Well, the bank, they had all these foreclosure sales in the latter part of the 80s into the 90s. Because they couldn't pay those loans off, because when bad, when the price of corn fell or whatever, you know, the vagaries of that market occurred, and you know, the stock market goes up and down. Well, they lost all that property. Now you had big conglomerates like Cargill, Illuminati outfits, bought up all those little, you know, smaller parcels and consolidated into much larger tracks for their, you know, factory farming operation, which uses, you know, the Monsanto Terminator seed, etc. So it's foolish to put yourself in credit debt. Live within your means. You don't need to buy a new car on credit. Buy a used car with cash, and particularly in this day and age. I mean, I bought a couple new cars in my life, but most of my cars that I bought, I bought with cash that were used. A car that's 5, 6, 7 years old is not that much money. You can buy it outright. You don't have to worry about being repossessed. It works fine. You know, the cars are much more reliable today. If you do sensible maintenance on the car, particularly if you change the oil and, you know, it, don't prevent grit and don't drive the car hard. You know, if you baby a car, it'll last twice as long as it will if you got a heavy foot. You can buy a used car with cash, and you can rent or pay a mortgage that's easily within your means. No, not barely at the, you know, at the end of your money earning power, but, you know, let's say 30% of your income, and even your income during bad times. And the other mistake that the bulk of people have made is that you're depending on a corporation for a job. You're depending on working for somebody else to make a living. And that's a very foolish thing to do in this day and age, because if you're in that boat, Corporation X downsizes and you're out the door, and because of the thievery and shenanigans on the stock market, you know, you've lost most of the equity in your retirement accounts and your IRAs and your
401ks.
401k, yeah. Thank you. That's the very...
Yeah, you know, that's always like, that's considered a fringe benefit for having the job. You know, it's a perk, yeah, to get you to say, oh yeah, it's great. They give me health insurance.
Yes, exactly. That would be part of the package they would present to you.
And
right?
and there's a scam there in the health, yes, insurance field.
Yes.
And you know, or you put in this money and we match it. Okay? Yes. And they take those figures over a certain period of time that they know they're going to stay in the country and stay in business. And right, then they pool that money into these derivatives and hedge funds, as if that money is there, you see,
yes,
and they're making money hand over fist.
Yes,
you're giving up a big chunk of your paycheck every every pay period, whatever that is, every week, 2 weeks, or every month. And if you're on a commission basis, as a lot of salespeople are, or sales-oriented people, you are going to be in a situation where you may never see the money. Period. I mean, that's a common theme. And how can you expect to go to court and sue and win when you have a corrupt Justice Department that's involved in all of this? It's impossible.
Right.
So we come back to the, that recurring theme that we have to create something new. That this system is designed for their game. It's their monopoly board.
Right.
You know, maybe, maybe, or their checkerboard. Maybe it's time for us to play Parcheesi. You know?
Well, I'm sort
or,
of...
Or hooks and ladders.
Well, that's really the reason I'm sort of emphasizing this notion is that for people who are depending on an employer, which usually means a corporation, if you're in a type of business that's economy dependent, okay, so if you're in a business, let's say, that says, well, if you're in the farming business, for instance, and you're working for a small producer, you're probably going to continue to have a job. And if it's something that's absolutely necessary for basic survival, you'll probably continue to hold on your job, particularly if you're doing something significant in that organization. But for all those companies that either provide a product or a service that's dependent on a healthy, vibrant economy, you're going to be out of a job pretty soon because you can see the, well, the banking industry is not going to be there for you, and the Wall Street is clearly going down, is plummeting. The auto industry is going down, and therefore all sort of related industries will fall with them, you know, the parts manufacturers for auto parts, et cetera, although there will always be a place to repair cars. People have to think and ask themselves, where what can I do that as an independent I can earn money independently and not look for a job? Because the people who expect to find another job are going to be butting heads with other people who also think they're going to find another job, and a handful will, but the majority won't. And as the situation deepens, there'll be more and more people unemployed, and then you're going to be worrying about paying the mortgage, paying the rent, and then it's going to come down to, you know, putting gas in the car, buying food, pay for the kids' tuition, etc. We have to learn to get out of the idea that you don't need a lot of things to survive. But what you do need is that you need your ingenuity and your energy to capitalize on the things that you're good at so that you can earn a living in some way in a local economy situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people who, let's say, can do, are unskilled in many things, but can do basic farming, if they have access to land, they ought to get busy, particularly if they're currently unemployed, to start growing things. Because if there's enough food available from local independent food producers, then that's one big chink out of their plans to use food as a weapon. So, you know, they're hoping that, particularly for people in cities, that they're going to become desperate for food, and that by cooperating with whatever fascist, you know, dictates that the government puts on the population in exchange for getting food, or food stamps, I suppose. Like during the war, they had these ration cards, et cetera, and that you're, so, but however, if people grow food locally, if there's insufficient abundance, we're going to take that out from under them. Now, the other thing they're going to do is they're going to crash the U.S. dollar eventually. That's going to happen. Plan on it. Just like it happened that in Germany after the end of World War One, you know, people literally were taking wheelbarrows of Deutschmarks to the bakery to get a loaf of bread. That's going to happen in America. So don't tie up all your assets in dollars. For the moment, we're okay. But if you have a lot of money, I would seriously think about putting it into a stronger currency other than the U.S. dollar, and or using your money to obtain physical assets that can serve you down the road. And we need to start thinking about freeing ourselves from anything the government might, you know, try to use as coercion against us. People don't need medical insurance because, for the most part, except in the case of an emergency in which you're bleeding to death and you need surgery, or you have a heart attack and you need to be revived with electroshock, those type of life or death emergency situations, you don't need hospitals, you don't need medical insurance, you don't need orthodox allopathic doctors to give you pills. You can learn how the body works, read the books of Huldah Clark. You can understand why disease takes place, how to stop it, how to reverse it, with simple, easily available things that are found in nature.
Or Dr. Kasim Khalil also.
Okay, well, yeah, that's nature-based remedies. They're not pharmaceutical-based.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going. Become your own doctor. A guy named Joel Wallach wrote a book many years ago that I have a copy of, and it's called, you know, How to Become Your Own Doctor, or something close to that, or be your own doctor, or that, hold on.
Well, we don't want people practicing medicine without a license here.
That's, no, you're not. I'm talking about practicing medicine on yourself. I'm not talking about treating others. It's called Let's Play Doctor by Joel Wallach, loaded with a lot of good tips. The best books in print to understand how disease takes hold in the body and how to reverse it are the books of Huldah Clark. That's my greatest recommendation, because her books are just loaded with pearls of wisdom and discovery that most people would keep to themselves to capitalize on it financially. She, bless her soul, gives the information away freely in her books. Anyone could learn how to use, quote, the so-called alternative therapies to take care of yourself. You got really sharp people like Michael Anthony, often on your show, Don. We need you know, a couple million Michael Anthonys or Dr. Kasim Khalil in this country to help people realize they can take care of themselves. You don't need this insurance industry. You don't need those god-awful, hospitals that charge obscene amounts of money for treatment that, you know, ought to be a few hundred dollars, and, you know, they just, you know, take an MRI and charge you a couple thousand, $3,000, $4,000. I mean, it's just obscene, the money that is being charged to people for these services. What will happen if enough people wake up and learn how to take care of themselves, stop going to doctors, stop going to the hospitals, watch their prices drop. Just watch the prices drop.
Yeah, we tell people the same thing about, you know, buying oil and all that too. Ken, we're actually out of time. It's been interesting and revealing. I want to give you a short closing comment here so we can let our engineer call it a night.
Well, thank you for having me on again. I do enjoy just having these fireside chats with you, expressing our opinion about these topics. That the time is coming for, I wish the large majority of Americans to hear shows like this, or somehow be influenced by a person, particularly people, can help other people, friends, relatives, wake up to the New World Order. This is not the time to remain mum about this. You can't proselytize. Beating people over the head doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be closed mouth. If you can see chemtrails and your neighbor doesn't know what a chemtrail is, you need to say, do you know that you're being poisoned? You see that thing lying overhead? That's not a cloud. That's a plane spraying out toxins that we're breathing in.
Yeah, it's criminal assault is what it is, you know?
Yes. You need to get in the game. Or someone said, I heard on the radio, get a mitt and get in the game, because it's push is coming to shove. And, you know, I've lived the bulk of my life. I'm not that old, but I've lived the bulk of my life in freedom. I want to see young people enjoy, you know, the bulk of their life in freedom, without, you know, strife or turmoil or, you know, the really grim stuff that they plan down the road unless we wake up. I want future generations, young people, to have as peaceful and pleasant a life as I've had. And that's why we're talking. But those young people and those parents who are hearing this need to take action. And you need to get a mitt, get it in the game.
Yeah, very well said.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for being on the show all this month and the past two nights especially. We covered a lot of territory.
Yeah,
and I had no idea where we were going tonight.
Yeah,
this
nor I. So we just let
this charade has to end. You know, mm-hmm. this is absolutely ridiculous. What's going on?
Yeah,
and I look forward to having you back next month. Hopefully, you're not going anywhere, and you can come back and visit us
here
a few times.
Yeah, I'm here for the duration.
Okay, well, I'll say goodnight to you and goodnight to our listening audience. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. Please visit Ken's website. It's a great research site. It's a repository of information. It's become quite a library. Go to educate-yourself.org to do that. And special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. And most of all thanks to our listeners out there. We love you, and we wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.